The Brian McClanahan Show, episode 267.
It's time to think locally and act locally. Welcome to the Brian McClanahan Show.
Welcome back to the Brian McClanahan Show. Glad to have you back on the program. Very glad to be here. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Brian McClanahan. Like my Facebook page at Brian McClanahan. And of course, subscribe to my YouTube page at Brian McClanahan, where you can watch this podcast. You don't want to find all those social media accounts, just go to my webpage, brianmcclanahan.com. You'll find all the social media buttons at the top of the page. While you're there, give me an email address, and I'll give you a free ebook, Forgotten Founders, and a free audiobook of the same title read by yours truly. You can support the Brian McClanahan Show by going to mcclanahanacademy.com. mcclanahanacademy.com. It's always free to enroll, and I do have 8 courses available for purchase. That's a great way to support the show. You get something out of it, too. You can also support the show by going to brianmcclanahan.com/support. You can throw a few pennies my way or a few bucks, whatever you got. Help keep these lights on. Help keep the podcast going. You can also go to anchor.fm. Click on that support and search for the Brian McClanahan Show. Click on that support button under that. You can support the show that way. It's a great way to do it. You can also go to LearnTrueHistory.com, LearnTrue, T-R-U-E, History.com. That's my affiliate link for Tom Woods Liberty Classroom, so it's a great way to support the show there by clicking on that. And always on my webpage, BrianMcClanahan.com, you click on the Shop tab and you can get your Brian McClanahan Show gear. So a great way to advertise the show and also show your support for the show. So lots of great ways to support the show. And of course, always share it around on social media, like it, you know, rate it on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Rate the show, share the show, because the more people thinking locally and acting locally, the better we're going to be in America. All right, all that said, let's talk about the topic of the day. And it's an article from September that I just haven't gotten around to doing yet, covering. It's from the Washington Post. And the title of the article is, "As Plantations Talk More Honestly About Slavery, Some Visitors Are Pushing Back." It's by Hannah Knowles at the Washington Post. So this is bad, she says. As we've become more honest and enlightened about our past, some visitors don't like this because why? They're bad people. So let me read this article. And it goes back to some of the things I've talked about history before. Why people are turned off from history? Well, because people don't want to hear PC history all the time. They get really tired of it. Because if you formulate your position of history, and this is, I mean, look, when we get into millennials, we get into why millennials support communism, why millennials support socialism, why they believe in social justice and climate change, because this is what they get constantly and consistently in their years in elementary school, middle school, high school, even college. This is what they're told over and over again. But what you're seeing is a complete lack of interest in history. In fact, social studies scores on standardized tests are some of the worst. Some of that's because they believe they can just Google everything. But when you Google everything, you get nonsense. The other reason is because I really believe that people are turned off by a consistent barrage of bad stuff. They don't want to hear over and over again how awful their ancestors were, how awful America is, how awful the founding fathers were, how awful these people were, and how America can only be saved by social justice. They don't want to hear it over and over again. They get tired of it. They want to go to Monticello and talk about Thomas Jefferson, not Thomas Jefferson's slaves. I mean, you would almost think that if you go to Monticello that Thomas Jefferson never even lived there, that... I mean, it was just one of the most important men in American history was a sideshow to the life of the house. That, I mean, he was really almost unimportant because the narrative of Monticello now focuses on a lot of other things. Or if you go to Montpelier, you would think that James Madison was just an afterthought at Montpelier, or Mount Vernon. George Washington was just an afterthought. If you go to any of these, I mean, look, people come to the South because they want to see Southern civilization. They want to go to a plantation home because they want to talk about something that's romantic and far off and that they don't see on an everyday basis. And certainly, even, you know, if you bring up the issue of slavery at these plantations, I mean, it was part of the life there. So bringing up those people, that is understandable and part of the story. But when all you do is focus on that, it creates a narrative that people get tired of hearing about. Now, maybe some people don't. This is all they want. I mean, well, these people are just bad. We got to hear about all the bad things these people do. Maybe that's what they really want. I don't know. I don't think so. And clearly, this article points out that I'm in the majority of that, that people don't want to hear this stuff all the time. But you've got these rock-headed, stubborn, enlightened historians that think this is what we need to do. We need to make sure we bash us over their head constantly because we're doing the right thing. Well, what you're doing at the end of the day is turning people off. I mean, do we want to have people know who the founding fathers really were and why they were important? It's not because of the social institutions or economic institutions. I mean, look, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson was a president of the United States. Thomas Jefferson was vice president of the United States. Thomas Jefferson was governor of Virginia. Thomas Jefferson is one of the most important men in American history. And you would only think that the only thing that's important about Thomas Jefferson is that he supposedly fathered children with Sally Hemings, one of his slaves, or at least one child, and that he owned slaves. I mean, this is it. This is what you would get. So let me get into this article. Again, Hannah Nill, September 8th, 2019, from the Washington Post. Charlottesville. A Monticello tour guide was explaining earlier this summer how enslaved people built, planted, and tended a terrace of vegetables at Thomas Jefferson's estate when a woman interrupted to share her annoyance. "Why are you talking about that?" she demanded, according to Gary Sandling, the vice president of Monticello's Visitor Programs and Services. "You should be talking about the plants." At Monticello, George Washington's Mount Vernon, and other plantations across the South, an effort is underway to deal more honestly with the brutal institution that the founding fathers relied on to build their homes and their wealth.
Slavery.
For 400 years after the first enslaved of Africans arrived in the English colony of Virginia, some sites are also connecting that ugly past to modern-day racism and inequality. See, this is the thing. So we're going to go to PC history now. We're just going to go out there and everything has to be connected to modern issues of slavery, modern issues of race and inequality. It's all about slavery and Jim Crow. And of course, these plantations are the root cause of all of that. "The changes have begun to draw people long alienated to the site's whitewashing of the past and to satisfy what staff call a hunger for real history. As plantations add slavery-focused tours, rebuild cabins, and reconstruct the lives of the enslaved with the help from their descendants. But some visitors, who remain overwhelmingly white, are pushing back. And the very mention of slavery and its impacts on the United States can bring accusations of playing politics." Well, this is true. That's what these people are doing. It's purposeful. They want to construct a version of the past that meshes with modern social justice warriors. This is exactly what they're doing. And of course, the historical profession is primarily left-wing. So this is what they think is necessary. This is why they think they love history. I remember I was in and I think I've mentioned this on this podcast before, I was in a graduate seminar, and the chair of the department at South Carolina, who's no longer there, said to the class, "The reason I'm a leftist is because I read history." I can say the reason that I'm not a leftist is because I've read history. But a lot of people come to the conclusion that because they read some history and they are interested in the 1960s. This is why history, I mean, these people are just awful. We're just going to be leftists because people are just awful. We're a very polarized, partisan political moment in our country. And not surprisingly, we're in those moments history becomes equally polarized, Sandling said. The backlash is reflected in some online reviews of plantations, including McLeod in Charleston, South Carolina, where one visitor complained early this summer that she didn't come to hear a lecture on how the white people treated slaves. Well, people don't really want to get that all the time. Because, I mean, then it's, well, we have to bow our heads and we have to, this is terrible. That's not what you're going there to see. Right? You're going there to see about the plantation and talk about the family that lived there. And certainly you can get into the labor of the plantation and some of the crops they produce and other things. But I mean, the problem is we're saying we were whitewashing history, we weren't talking about it at all. Now that's all we talk about. There has to be a median there, and these people don't get it. They just think you go from one extreme to the other, and that's what has to happen. The review sparked shock as it made rounds in the internet. Really? I didn't find any of that shock. Shock. I mean, this is just ridiculous writing from Hannah Knowles. The stories of guest discomfort are familiar to many of the on the front lines at historical sites steeped in slavery. The tour guides, reenactors, and other staff with an up-close view of how Americans think and talk about a shameful past. There was a time when visitors would not have heard the word slave in this house, David Ronka said early on in a 105-minute drive into the lives of the best dive into the best-known enslaved family at Monticello, the Hemingses. Visitors might have heard reference to Mr. Jefferson's people, said the veteran guide, or maybe the souls of his family, a phrase from the author of the Declaration of Independence who owned more than 600 enslaved people over his lifetime. Now Monticello's guides called interpreters tell their nearly, this is the important, they're interpreting. They're not really guides, they're interpreters. So let me interpret this for you. See this here? This is how you should really think about it. I'm going to just say, this is Mr. Jefferson's furniture. Wouldn't it be better to let the people interpret these things themselves? Or is that not, you're making history into interpretation, which we know it is, right? We know history is all interpretation, but they're outright admitting it. And Hannah Knowles thinks they're interpreters. They're interpreters. So this is what they're supposed to do. Tell their nearly 500,000 visitors a year about enslaved people. Slave is a noun, Ronka said, as other tour groups' footsteps shuffled overhead. Enslaved is a condition, he added, a way to talk about people defined by more than their bondage. This is a trend that's been going on now for about 10 years to change the term. People have defended this, and many we're going to use the term enslaved instead of slaves because enslaved is an active thing. Enslaved, it shows the brutal condition of the institution. So we're not going to talk about slaves anymore. It's now the enslaved. That's a political term, 100%. We've been waiting, for this story, for this amount of truth about the past, said Nia Bates, Monticello's director of African American history. The truth came gradually, starting in the 1990s with an effort to gather oral histories on a tour on slavery. Last year, Monticello opened a room once home to Sally Hemings, amid growing evidence that Jefferson fathered her children. What is the growing evidence? There's no growing evidence amid growing evidence. No, it's the same old evidence, which is actually not even based on real evidence. Interpreters talk about what Ronka calls the central irony of the nation's third president, who said he hated slavery at some points advocating against it, but yet freed just 7 of the hundreds of men and women he owned. Visitor reviews of Monticello and travel site TripAdvisor are overwhelmingly positive. But the negative comments are increasingly likely to blast the amount of time devoted to slavery, decrying political correctness, and the bashing of a giant of American history. 2 years ago, only a couple of poor reviews mentioned slavery. This year, almost all of them do. Gee, I wonder why. Because people are getting tired of it. And they don't. The best way to do it is just stop going to the sites. All right, well, I'm not going to go to Monticello. Until you change this, I'm not going there. You have to push back against this stuff and say, look, we just won't go. People just aren't. And look, people are not going to historical sites. The attendance in all of these sites has dropped off dramatically. Why? Because they're focusing too much on SJW nonsense. People don't want to hear it. For someone like myself, going to Monticello is like an Elvis fan going to Graceland, one review from July reads. Then to have the tour guide essentially make consistent reference to what a bad person he really was just ruined it for me. The Thomas Jefferson Heritage Society is a staunch opponent of Monticello's decision to tell visitors Jefferson fathered children with Sally Hemings, after years of fierce disagreement over the strength of the evidence. John Works, a Jefferson descendant and president of the society, believes Monticello has overemphasized slavery at the expense of Jefferson's accomplishments. There's a limit to the appeal, I think, of the slavery message, he said. And this is true. John Works is 100% right here. And the evidence is not conclusive. In fact, what you can say is only one of Hemings' children is from a Jefferson line, but not Jefferson himself. And the evidence points to the fact that it's not Thomas Jefferson, but perhaps his brother, Randolph Jefferson. So there's no evidence. This stuff is made up. Staff at James Madison's Virginia State Montpelier get complaints every month that a 10-minute video they show is pushing propaganda. The film traces its slavery's effects from through history, from Jim Crow and economic inequality, gerrymandering, and redlining. Why is that at Montpelier? Why do you have a video on that there? It's about Montpelier. Why politicize everything? Which is what they're doing. There's an effort to do it. It's pretty in your face, acknowledged Bryce Thomas, Montpelier's marketing communications director. Yeah, it is. But before we finish with that, we're going to take a break. I'll come back and talk about Montpelier a little more. I'll see you in just a few minutes. All right, we're back. Let's finish talking about this issue and continue with Madison and Montpelier. So the last thing I said is pretty in your face, acknowledged Pierre Thomas, Montpelier's marketing communications director, which talking about a 10-minute video that is basically a social justice warrior propaganda piece. He says, it grew from discussions with descendants of Madison slaves as the staff created a permanent exhibit it called The Mere Distinction of Color, said Thomas, who joined Montpelier to manage the exhibition's launch. Their advice, you can't talk about slavery as a relic of the past. You can't? I mean, last time I checked, it is illegal. So, do we have slavery in the United States? Oh, I mean, you can make a case we have slavery in the United States now when we're all paying so much in taxes. But that's another story. Making those explicit connections to racism and inequality today can raise hackles, said Brandon Dillard, manager of special programs at Monticello. People do get uncomfortable because those things have been politicized despite their statistical support, he said. Oh, really? This is, again, that's a SJW statement. Despite their statistical support, people get uncomfortable with this. Really? Okay. Some plantations avoid going there. Staff members of Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, and a destination more than 1 million visitors each year, haven't really looked into making connections to modern issues going on, said Jeremy Ray, director of interpretation. And the issue of backlash rarely comes up at monthly training sessions, he says. Gee, thank you. There's one place. Now, you can pay for an extra tour. The site charges for its extra for its enslaved people to Mount Vernon tour, discussing slavery in the main tour only in passing with the names and duties of seamstress valets or valets and cooks. Some people may see an agenda in just the mention of slavery. One August visitor to Mount Vernon was happy to chat with a Washington Post reporter about his day at the estate until he learned he would be asked about the site's approach to the people Washington owned. I don't want to politicize my experience here, the man who spoke on the condition of anonymity said from a sunny bench in Washington's flower gardens. Other visitors came with politics on their mind. They think about the culture war over Confederate monuments, the neo-Nazis who marched with torches around Jefferson's statue at the University of Virginia, 15 minutes down the road from Monticello. So they come with politics on their mind. They're going to come there and they're going to... Think about politics. It's just politics. In South Carolina, Sean Halifax, who trains interpreters and leads programming at McLeod, remembers the jolt of learning that white supremacist Dylan Roof visited the plantation not long before killing 9 black people in Charleston Church in 2005. He also remembers the precise words of the white woman who pulled him aside after a tour about a year ago. She told him that he hated the South, painting the cotton plantation with a brush that was too large and far too black. Halifax thanked her for her comments, recalled. He said he disagreed, but would think it over, and he has. McLeod's focus on bondage, talking bluntly about slave labor camps, and shunning the big white house for the fields. That means some people's beliefs are being challenged, Halifax says. Staff members try to gauge frowns and cross arms and even embrace them as signs of those who would learn the most if guides can break through. It doesn't mean we coddle, he said. It does mean that we allow people room and space to have an experience and walk away thinking differently. So we're going to tell you what we think, no matter what you think about it. If you cross your arms, you frown, we're going to tell you what we think about this stuff. We're not going to coddle you. Again, this is the in-your-face type of history that people don't really like. They don't want it. They don't want it. It doesn't mean that that woman who said that is, I mean, this, she's being portrayed as some type of white supremacist. Or Dylan Roof visited a plantation, so white supremacists go there. I mean, this is, if we don't tell this thing, we're going to produce a whole lot more Dylan Roofs. Think about the subtle message that's going on with that statement. Or the one thing that she said that She said that visitors go to Mount Vernon with politics on their mind, but she gives no examples of this. I mean, it's all about they go to Monticello with politics on their mind because they're thinking about the Unite the Right rally. Really? You think people go to Monticello thinking, you know what, I'm just coming here because I'm thinking about that Unite the Right rally? I highly doubt that happens for most people at all. Same thing with Mount Vernon or anywhere else. People don't, I mean, look, people go to the north. If they go to Boston, they're going to want to see the Revolutionary War Trail. I mean, they're going to go up there and they're going to see some of that stuff. They're going to visit those things. But nobody ever goes to Boston to look at homes. They go to the South to look at homes because the South had a unique experience in America. And now, you, as we're going to get into, you can't say plantation without saying slavery. So I think, again, here's my position. It's okay to talk about, we should talk about slavery there. We should. We should talk about these things because that gives you a more rich and complex history of the past. But again, at the expense of what? So do you go 180 in one direction or 180? I mean, so you, for years we didn't talk about it at all. Now we're going to talk about it all the time. Well, that's too much. I think Mount Vernon, if you go by what has the right balance. Okay, we'll talk about it. You can pay extra if this is what you want. We'll give you a tour of that if that's what you want. But here's the thing. We're going to talk about it in terms... We're going to talk about George Washington. Isn't that more... You're going to Mount Vernon to see George Washington's home, not to see... I mean, it's Washington's the central figure there. You go to Monticello to see Jefferson's home, Jefferson being the central figure, not all the slaves and everything else that happened at Monticello. You should be able to pay for that if you want it. If you want that tour, you should get it. They should have that. But don't make it the central, and don't interpret the house in that way. Again, we've gone 180 in the other direction. It has to come back the other way. As Works has said, we've overemphasized it too much. Now, of course, that's not what Hannah Knowles thinks. She thinks that it's really not that way, that I would just be making a mountain out of a molehill here, that really what's happening is this is good and it's going to make a lot more money and people are going to be happier with history if we just do this and we just go in your face and we tell you what you should think and that's all you should... I mean, we're going to do this. McLeod is unusual, not alone in teaching primarily about slavery. Whitney Plantation opened in Louisiana in 2014 with a similar mission. So you got a couple. It's unusual that we're going to have a... I mean, look, Whitney Plantation. Some visitors warn online that Whitney is a slavery tour rather than a plantation tour, said Joy Banner, the site's marketing director. Honestly, plantation and slavery is one and the same, really. I mean, yeah, if you go there, you can talk about what the... labor, what happened there and what the life was like. Do you talk about the family? So, I mean, if you're looking at it in terms of, all right, we're going to take this plantation and we're going to talk simply about plantation life, then I would agree. If that's what you want, then I would agree that that's what you should do. If you're talking simply about the functioning of the plantation from a purely economic and social standpoint, then fine. Do it. I mean, I would actually agree with that. That mindset has drawn newly diverse crowds. Almost 16% of Whitney's visitors were African-American in a survey conducted a few years ago, said Amy Potter. Most plantations had white visitor percentage in the high 80s and 90s. Well, if it's 16%, that means it hasn't really changed a whole lot, because if it's in the 80s, that would still mean 16% was about the same, right? So has it really increased a whole lot? Even the more traditional plantation study, Potter says slavery was visitors' top interest post-tour, beating out features like the gardens and the land's original owners. Really? And Whitney's focus on the enslaved lives and attracting more and more people. About 30,000 visitors the first year, Banner said. 110 are projected to come in 2019. But does that mean they're going there because of slavery or just because it's someplace new to go? I mean, there's no connection between the two. You can't say it's because of this that more people are coming. Maybe it's just because it's a new place to go. Gary Watson grew up in nearby Vichy, Louisiana, where his family members, descendants from Haitians forced into slavery, were surrounded by plantations billed as romantic getaways. His grandfather refused to visit any of them. His ancestors worked so hard to get off plantations, Watson said, but he thinks his grandfather would have felt differently about Whitney. Descendants of the enslaved now work as historians and interpreters at many historical sites. The jobs can be draining. Stephen Seals, a black reenactor at Colonial Williamsburg in Virginia, tries not to be disheartened when once a week or so visitors walk away after realizing they're talking with a man playing a slave. Sometimes they sigh or say, not this again. It's worth it, Seals said, to bring humanity to people long denied it. He calls reenacting the greatest work of his life. Let me finish the piece. Many white visitors think talk about slavery is meant to guilt them, Seals said. Others think of his character, James Armistead Lafayette, who won his freedom by spying on the British Army, as telling an African-American story far from their lives. It's an American story, Seals said. It's part of who we are. So you have this guy who was spying for the British. I mean, it tells a complex story of the American War for Independence. There's no doubt about it. I think that's fine to have these stories. As I said, I believe in complexity. If we didn't have this at all, and all we had at these plantations, and all we had at Williamsburg, and anywhere else where you had labor. The question is, though, and I don't know because I've never visited some of the historical sites in New England. I mean, if you go to Lowell, for example, Lowell, Massachusetts, and you go to the mill, do they have the ragged woman cotton worker, machine worker there talking about how she was basically starved to death, working long hours in horrible conditions? I mean, do they get into this? Do they talk about that at all? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do. And maybe it's really a part of the interpretation of the site to talk about the brutal conditions of wage workers in the North. I mean, is this something they do? Or not. I don't know. Somebody can probably respond in this video or on the in an email. I'll send this out in an email. If you know that, respond and say, yeah, I mean, this is what they do. So that would be great if we're doing it consistently. But I'm not so certain that happens. And again, I think people are turned off by what they perceive as political history. People look at history a lot of times as an escape. It's just like sports. It's why people bristle at athletes talking about politics, or why people got so upset about LeBron James talking about China or didn't know anything about China and all these other. People get upset with it because they look at sports as an escape. And in many ways, they look at history as an escape. They want to hear about great people. They want to hear about great things. They don't want to hear about negativity. People get too much negativity in their life. And so history, if you go to some place and think, wow, I mean, this is Thomas Jefferson. This is a great man. Nope, he's not a great man because he owned slaves and because of Sally Hemings. This is James Madison. This is a great man. Nope, he's not a great man because he owned slaves. You think about what that does to people. What that would do ultimately to how people, I mean, they go to these things on vacation, and yet what they get is, I mean, Hannah Knowles thinks a lot of people are, the guy sitting in the Washington's gardens and saying, like, I'm not going to talk about that. You want to talk about what I think about George Washington or what I think about Washington's house, but you're going to ask me about slavery? I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to do that. That's not what I'm here for. You see, this is the issue. This is why people don't want to do it, because they see it as being highly problematic. They see it as what it is, a thinly veiled political agenda. And as the guy at Montpelier said, it's in your face. We do it on purpose. So who wants to go pay for that? Who wants to go visit that? I don't. Or you just skip the stupid video. See, what I figured out over time is you don't go and watch the videos or anything like that. You just skip all that nonsense. You go and you tour it and now you're not going to know anything about stuff. Well, you're certain. I mean, is the video going to help you know anything about the plantation? When it's just about, when it's a 10-minute social justice warrior crusade, is that going to tell you anything? this is the point. This is where people get turned off by these things. And this is where history is struggling because it becomes this usable past. Now, as a historian and someone who likes history and can say, well, we can draw conclusions from these things. And I mean, people said some important things at these times and people said some things that we may not agree with, whatever. We can look at these things in their context, but you have to look at them within their context and then take it from that. and take it from there. I think that this is the issue when we get into all of these historic sites, whether it's museums, plantations, living history regions like Williamsburg, which of course is losing visitors like crazy. Millennials just don't care about this stuff as much. And I think some of it's because of the way it's being told. What people really want to hear are great stories. They want to hear about great people. They want to hear extraordinary things. They don't want to be made feel guilty about everything, or they don't want to be beat over the head with something that they think they should, it's a horrible thing in the past. They want to feel good about some things. And so give people the option. If they want to go on a slavery tour, if they want to talk about that, then give them the option to do that. But focus on the other things that are, I mean, look, Monticello would not be there without Thomas Jefferson, right? He designed the house. Now you can say, well, he didn't build it himself. That's a socialist position. But he designed it, right? I mean, Jefferson is Jefferson because of what he did in life. He was a great man because of what he did. And so let's talk about that and not the other parts. And if you want the other parts, then take a tour on it. But for the most part, focus on the things that people are going to want to hear. And I think that's the that would be the takeaway from this, that historic sites need to get real. They've gone 180 too far in the other direction. All right. I will see you next time on The Brian McClanahan Show.